You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, the show's about to start. I just need to ask you a massive favor. Please go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. It would be tremendous. Does Christian know I'm doing an ad before the show starts? Absolutely not. Is he going to be upset about it? Oh, yeah. But he won't be upset if he sees a bunch of followers on our Twitch account. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. And I'm going to start playing the show now. And I bet you right when the show starts is when Christian texts me.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch with Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link.
That'll do. That'll perfect. Do.
Already know how we do.
I just woke Nutmeg up. He is not happy that I just yelled.
I mean, would it be a Cooligans episode if there wasn't a dog barking in the background and you once again not ignoring it and thus having it get quiet?
I mean, he's right next to me and he's quite upset.
You ignore the dog.
I disrupted his sleep. He was sleeping comfortably. So yes, it is. And also, so first, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prime Show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in. Nutmeg is it's LPS Sports Agency. Thanks for following. Also, it's Nutmeg's birthday.
It's pure mayhem coming from that side.
Look, I bought him. I bought him this.
You guys can't see this. It's a half a ball, half of a birthday cake with googly eyes on it. This is who Christian's become. He used to laugh at jokes. Now he holds up dog's toys and giggles to himself.
He's a fan.
This is what Christian has become.
Okay. Here you go, buddy.
Christian got domesticated through this whole thing.
We're excited about today's show.
He used to want a Tesla. Now he wants a sitting lawnmower. That's what he wants.
Okay, while I'm in my Birkenstocks.
He went full burbs. He wants to step outside and get the newspaper saying, "You believe this weather?" That's what he wants to say.
Well, I have it tucked under my armpit. You know what I mean? Okay. We're excited about today's show. Apologies for the puppy. It was, I promise, he was doing great before we went live. We are excited about today's show because we have incredible guests. We obviously, there's a lot to discuss. The Euros, Copa America, terrible things. It's difficult to go a week with, you know, you see the billboards that say no to racism, but people are not, they're not saying no, okay?
They were saying, wait a minute, that last word reminded me to be a racist. And they're like, no, you didn't do it right. You got to read the whole sentence.
Your vision seems to be blocked or impaired. You're not seeing all the words in that sentence.
They're like, they picture a comma after the word no. So they're like, say no to racism. And like, on our way to racism. Turns out the only thing coming home was racist.
Yeah. Why does it settle here all the time?
Oh, man.
So a lot to discuss. Whatever you would like to discuss in the chat relative to the things that we're talking about. And obviously it was an insane weekend.
Nathan 2003 says, "Coming Rome?" ? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. The players were chanting, were singing, "It's coming Rome" on the plane.
Yes, I did see that.
Beautiful.
But let's bring in our guests so we can get this show.
Bay Area Guna said, "Racism came back like bronze hairline." Damn.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, except racism didn't need doctors. You know what I mean? It was there all along.
Okay, so let's bring in our guests. I mentioned earlier.
How cool is this that we get to do this on this show?
This is unreal.
Look how far technology's come. This used to just be like the news that would be able to do this. Now it's two idiots on the internet can bring on like a whole group of people that are experts in what they do and really exactly. good at this.
So you may remember we have three guests today. You remember our first, Quincy America. He was an MLS vet, great dude. We had him when we did the live show at Audi Field. He was there being awesome, being inspirational. Also, we are joined by Justin Morrow of Toronto FC. He did our TV show not too long ago. We got to talk about a lot of things, the game, the Black Players for Change Alliance. And also, this is also very, very exciting. Probably I'm more excited than the other two. This is the first time we get to have our dear friend
yes.
on the show, Nicole.
Oh, if I'm not mistaken, 2 years in a row, we were in Chicago for her birthday.
Yeah, how that incredible how that worked
only
out.
Only COVID stopped this.
How dare COVID. Right. So let's please bring in our guest. Everyone say hello to our didn't get Justin had left and I'm trying to get him back on.
And you left the chat up.
And I left the chat up. So let me
so close. He was proud of himself when that switch was made. For those of you listening who are not watching, all of a sudden, we switched screens, and Christian has this new Stream Deck, which is just the button you hit. When he did that, Justin Morrow was nowhere to be found. But now he's back. We're Justin, here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the three, the only, Quincy America, Justin Morrow, Nicole Hack.
Thank you guys for joining us. I know we have a lot to discuss. We'll talk about the main reason you guys are here, the Juneteenth project, the shirt that you guys are selling, obviously raising money for incredible and important organizations. We'll get to that in a moment, but let's just bring you on to the show, to what we're talking about, because obviously the Euros just ended, England losing to Italy in penalties.
Right. And how shocked are you that nothing racist happened afterwards?
Okay, Alexis, I have some news for you.
No. I have been living under a rock for the last few days, and I would prefer it to be this way.
I hate to spoil things for you, but is everyone? I got Nicole. I think her screen has to like refresh or something. I don't know what's going on. Is everyone seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, it looks like she's in a pixel shower.
Yeah, I don't know what to do right now.
What is going
on? It's probably better that way.
Can I refresh this?
I'm not sure, but I feel like she's trapped in a matrix and I want to help her.
There it is.
There we go.
Oh, hey.
There's a glitch. Sports card there. I said there's a glitch in the matrix. All right, so let's start with you, Justin. The Euros and this aftermath, this response.
Also, just did you watch the Euro final?
No, I didn't watch it. I found out afterwards.
Did you watch it? Okay, because the reason I ask is I've talked to a few people, and everyone said when they realized that Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho has missed an up was coming up Saka, everyone who I've spoken to was like, "Oh God, this is going to be a thing." Did you have that feeling as well? Because that's got to suck to have that pull you out of this moment and have to worry about race being an issue. And obviously it became one afterwards. But were you in that same boat? Did you have that same thought?
Alexis, it was a thing when he was subbing them on. I was so mad at Southgate. He subbed them on with 2 minutes left in the match. Right. I don't care how good you are at penalties. With the weight of the country on your shoulders in that moment, there's just no way. And I could look as Sancho and Rashford were standing on the sidelines to go in. They looked nervous because they knew what they were about to happen. You know, they knew that they were going in to take the penalty kicks. And when they were stepping up, each and every one of them, I was like, please, God, don't let this happen. Don't let them miss. And when all three of them missed, I knew what was happening after that.
And it's so bad, too, because there is a history of England being bad at penalties to win things and to put these three young men. I think let's start there. What are their ages are like, 21, 20 and 19, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Granted, they're professionals and I trust Saka with my life. There's just something about that guy. I'm an Arsenal fan. I just really believe he can do whatever. But to put them in that situation and then to have it be three Black players in a row and have them be the ones that missed. Everyone knew what was coming next. Quincy, I'm sure you were a part of this as well. You were watching. What do you think about what happened next? Because it was immediately everyone's worst nightmares were came true because the English just found a way to step up to the plate at the wrong time here.
Oh, man. I guess you guys know me a bit in terms of looking at it. If people didn't know, you know, I've been a player of color in the U.S. soccer system my whole like career. So kind of to Justin's point.
It would have been weird if you were Asian for the first few years.
Right, for the first couple. And then I saw it wasn't working out too good. So I was like, you know, let me join, yeah, you know, the black side, you know. Yeah,
don't live all your way through the next year.
Yeah, I think for me, it's unfortunate that I'm not surprised at all by it. And I think that's the issue and problem, right? So it's really saying like, okay, you know what's coming, so that means it's predictable. So in some sense, there's like experience there that you gain. When I look at the young individuals who got to take, who I think of it positively, who got to take the penalties, right? Though this was a high pressure moment and situation for three very young, inexperienced men. This experience is something that they'll get to see an overwhelming positive response as a result of the negative experience. Whereas I feel the experience for many players of color throughout, you know, my old timer history, right, being a veteran in the game, is that positive response never followed up with the negative, right? So I feel like that's where I'm very optimistic as to where we're at in the process. Our ability to have this conversation so quickly afterwards to speak to the hopeful positives we can see from it, people better understand the issue, the work that the organizations have been doing over just the last year to get to this point in time, to where, you know, under your guys' word, two idiots can be on the podcast, bringing people on and their friends and stuff to talk about big issues, but still have a good time and enjoy themselves. Because I think to your point, Christian, you mentioned you can't get that real world stuff out of this game of soccer and football, no matter how much those racists might not want that to be true.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you got to find that balance. And that's what we're here to do. Like, hey, you want to get rid of us?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And like from Nicole, I want to ask you a question. Can you defend white people here? I'm kidding.
No. That's why you're here, Nicole.
No.
As a former black player, Nicole, what are your thoughts?
from at least, you know, you are a person who, you know, and Alexis and I have always said this to you, you are a person that we look up to, especially who has been, like, in the game for a long time and really, you know, especially in Chicago, kind of bringing people together, getting people connected to the Chicago Fire, creating this real community. And clearly that, you know, diversity and inclusion is an important thing to you from that perspective, from where you almost have a little bit of a position of experience and authority. How is it that you handle kind of situations like this, because this happens kind of everywhere, but what is the communication when you are talking to other supporters about how to kind of remove these issues from the game?
Well, I think the awesome thing with supporters culture, right, is that we all have the same beliefs and values in terms of the inclusivity and equality. So I don't know if there's any, like, you know, pep talks that need to be given. But I think one thing, especially I learned working with Quincy and Justin a lot, and is the word together and like how important that is. Knowing all have play, and it's not just on the black players or the black supporters or black media, that it's on all of us to work together. Together we're stronger. And I think that's just important to remember that. And in times like, and this is not a black player issue, but when MLS players were almost going on their lockout, right? We knew that if we came together with the player association, that supporters and players, we could support them and just have a louder voice together. And so just that word together has really been emphasized to me over the last couple of months working with guys.
All right. Yeah, it is a... I think, you know, I was kind of joking about it before, but like it is the last few I would say like the last year, 2 years, like it has become a thing. We like the fact that it's every week. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It is literally every week, every day. There's always another issue. And I think it was Tyrone Mings that had a great tweet. He retweeted some official in England that was basically condemning the racism, but then the week prior was condemning the players for kneeling.
Pretty Patel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is like the frustrating thing where he's calling out the thing that they say doesn't really exist. You know what I mean? Like they know why they're what they're fighting for and what their challenge is. And then as soon as it's so incredibly blatant, then that's when people want to hop on and be like, hey, well, that's okay. I see what you mean. That's bad. But it's like, well, don't condemn us when we're trying to, you know, shine a light on these actual issues.
Or like the Miami Cubans who were against all the BLM protests, but all of a sudden Cubans are protesting and now it's okay. Now it's okay to loot because it's a thing you believe in. Yeah. And sorry, I hope my cousins hear that. I'm trying. I'll have my own Thanksgiving. I don't care. So, everybody getting flamed. Everybody getting flamed.
So that kind of goes into why you guys are here as well. Can let's talk a little bit about the Juneteenth project that you guys are working on. It is
to like help build awareness. And look, I don't have a ton of confidence that, you know, in my lifetime, these things will end, but I hope that we can chip away at them to the point where they're like in the distance and we just don't even have to worry about it. And you guys are putting together something that's on that path. And I think this is wonderful. Why don't you guys give our fans an idea of what it is that you guys have done?
Well, I can start. I mean, Christian, to your point, this isn't something that's, you know, happened overnight. This has been going on for a long time now. Rashford was racially abused when he missed a big chance in the Europa final just recently. And it happened over here with Mark McKenzie at the Nations League final. So, like, this is something that's happening and something that really highlights the importance of what Black Players for Change and Independent Supporters Council came together to do, because it's really the first time that the players and the fans, supporters have connected like this before. And it was just really impactful to see it happen on this level. You know, Juneteenth was our 1 year anniversary, in addition to it being such a big, important cultural holiday over here in North America and especially in the United States. So for the supporters to step up the way they did and really continue our message, that's what it was all about, you know, showing that we're together in this, like Nicole's talking about, working on it hand in hand. I mean, we put in a lot of hours for like 6 weeks leading up to it, going over all the details. You know, in addition to the shirts, we did something in stadium too. We had a lot of TIFOs in stadium, so we had to coordinate all of that. And it was just a really wide-ranging project. But I think that's where you move the needle a little bit, you know, when you're talking about having these fans react this way in social media or even in stadium. Maybe we gain some perspective and some understanding here through some initiatives like this.
And speaking of just being a player, and there's a couple people who've mentioned this in the chat. Bay Area Guna said soccer will bounce back. He's a tough dude. For those of you who played, having a moment where everyone's watching and you do mess up, I mean, forget all of the racist tirade that comes after. Just that alone. What's that bounce back like for people that are watching that never play the game? What does it take to come back from a moment like that?
Quincy, you want to go?
I could probably take that one. Let's talk to the guy whose brand is the MSL. Let's maybe we talk to that guy on that one.
I just want to highlight what Bay Area Guna just said. No joke, Quincy owes me $30 for making me spill my beers when he chipped Portland in San Jose. Okay, so finally people
and
are coming.
And I'll do it again too, bro. No problem. I'm glad I spilled your beer.
That was a great shot, honestly, yeah.
Oh, no, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I think, okay, that's a heavy question. That's a deep one you got there, right? But the way you bounce back is really the belief system you have in yourself. And I think that's really difficult to maintain and manage.
when you're putting yourself out there for criticism and scrutiny. And that's what you do every time you step on the soccer field, right? Because there's fans and people are there watching you, and you've got a coach there and a technical director and an ownership, and they all believe they understand what the game's supposed to look like and what you're supposed to do and what the right decision was and how, right? Everyone has all these expectations and decisions, but you're there, you're the one who's doing it, and you know your intentions and why what you're doing it for. And the moments when you do make a mistake, and everybody does because we're all human, depending on how big of a platform you're trying to influence or to make an impact on, that's how far you'll fall when you do make those mistakes. So even what we kind of spoke to and touched on here, where I'm seeing, where I tend to hopefully always look at the positive attributes of the negative experience we're facing in the short term. In my lifetime, I've never seen the positive outburst following the negativity, the speed at which I've seen it happen, right? So in my experience, that has never happened. And to a degree, there's a level of maybe jealousy in that not being the same for us, but an appreciation that that means it should be different for my sons and my daughters and who comes after me, right? So when you're trying to navigate your ego and what it means to be human and to know that you make mistakes and you have biases at different stages in your life, trying to look at the bigger picture for the reasons beyond yourself for why you're doing it, and then try to try to project that empathy on those around you. So to Nicole's point, you know, together there will be change. That's how we've been approaching it. We're all learning. We're all idiots and we're all geniuses in our own way. Right, we all can participate. We can all choose not to participate, and that's
speaking
a form
for yourself,
of
by the way. I'm just an idiot. Okay, yeah. I don't
need. Well, there's a role in place for just the idiots, and we love you for it.
Don't put that genius label on Alexis. You don't want that.
I don't need that.
Listen,
stress.
Hey,
no.
Hey,
pets,
listen,
no
listen.
Kids, no smarts.
Listen, there's a genius. There's a quality of genius to total stupidity. Right, yeah. When you look at someone and you say, "This guy, this girl, this person is a total idiot."
Yeah.
You better study that person because they figured something out.
They survived this long.
he's happy to be by himself on Thanksgiving. He's preparing for a future that looks great for him right now. And you guys just can't see it. It's right?
No trauma so, growing up in the hood without a dad. None at all.
Zero. Zero.
It's interesting what you say because of, what is it? Sunday, the penalties are over. The immediate aftermath on social media.
And then, to what Quincy said, these guys are gutted.
Right.
They just missed penalties to win their country, their first title in how many years? 55 years?
Yeah.
And they're already hurt.
And not just any country, right? It's football's coming home. You know, we have to deal with, we call it soccer, and we get attacked on the internet by you know who, right? So it's like, a part of me is like, good for you for not winning, right? Because of all the kind of things we have to deal with. But then
they did it for us.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I like what you said about, like, how quickly the response was of there was the negativity, but the response of positivity has been pretty incredible. Marcus Rashford wrote that long message about the incredible amount of positive messages that he has received.
And that's not the stuff that gets retweeted. That's not the stuff that gets screen capped.
Right,
ever.
Right, right.
I'm glad he highlighted that because it shows there are people that care that reach out. It's the other folks that we worry
about.
So
and it's also the, you know, the clubs themselves. You see Arsenal defending their player and really just
Tottenham. Like, Tottenham put a photo of Harry Kane hugging Saka, saying it'll be okay. Yeah, I mean, and even Bay Area Guna said, "I hate Harry Kane," but this statement supporting the guys was perfect. And that's the other thing that I think is new about this England team was how quickly the rest of the teammates came to their support. And hopefully shows the world you're the ones that are wrong here, you know?
Right.
I think this is where, like, supporters too, like, it's our responsibility to call it out, to learn, to do better. You know, the Marcus Rashford mural where all the fans are, you know, it's a small gesture, but its impact is, like, huge, right? So those are the things that as supporters and fans of the game that we need to do and to continue to put pressure on and take responsibility for, especially as a non-Black supporter.
Right, right. Yeah,
for sure.
And it's great to see that conversation of like kind of English fans, calling out or taking responsibility in saying like, these are our supporters too, and we have to figure out how to handle these people and sort out like, why is this kind of okay to be like, just the fact that the discussion is happening at all, I think is some sign of growth. It's essentially a never ending battle. But the fact that things are happening so fast that the debates are happening so quickly, I feel like it's at least some sign of a positive change and all the work that you guys are doing, even, you know, after the murder of George Floyd, the awareness I feel like has just been so drastic and dramatic, and some people are annoyed and frustrated and whatever, but these are the people that we have to confront.
And those people won't have me at Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, you were going to say, Justin.
I was just going to say, no, there's so many signs of hope. Like, I always thought it was interesting because England was taking the knee throughout the whole tournament, and I always thought it was interesting to see the teams that would partake in that and not. And Italy was one of the ones that was doing it. You know, they knelt with them before the final. And Italy's historically has had its own problems with racism, you know, and they didn't receive terrible pushback from their fans. Like, the English fans were, like, booing them, you know? So I thought even little things like that, I'm like, wow, you know, this conversation is coming along a little bit, and there's tons of signs all over the place.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit just about the Juneteenth, the shirt, the plans around it, how'd it happen?
Dropping soon.
I know they're currently on pre-sale still. Just go over some of the details and let people know how they can get one and support.
Go ahead, Quincy, you want to start?
Nicole, could you kick us off with kind of the designer of the tee, what inspired that, how you guys have reached out to us?
I thought you were going to say with a couple bars. I'm like, you want her to rap?
That's when I was talking to you guys and asking about the next show so we could plan for her 16 cipher that she's about to drop.
I need a few steps more before I start doing any sort of singing. I don't remember when we first reached out, but we reached out, wanted to do a collab. We had our annual conference, which was virtual in January. and we had a few, Justin was on, and Jaleel Anibaba and some of the Black Player Association.
Matt Watson. Yep.
And the women from Black Players.
Women Collective. There's been a lot. Well, there's been a, I guess to that point, there's been a lot of organizations. There's been a lot of buy-in. There's been a lot of conversations that are going on and happening at every level. And every person who has felt inspired or wanted to participate or to contribute in any way has been welcome, right? So again, like Nicole mentioned, together there will be change. That's our branded hashtag. Anybody, racist or not, who wants to learn, who wants to participate, who wants to play a part, even if the part is to talk about how dumb we are and what we're doing doesn't make sense, that's feedback that we need to understand where they stand, why they stand there, and how to reapproach and figure out ways in which we can continue to progress forward, but not leave people behind just because of their ideology or the color of their skin. You know, there's a lot of opportunity here for us to continue to progress forward, but be inclusive of everybody. And this t-shirt has been the way that we've been able to bring that together and bring it to market so people can understand what it stands for and represents, right? So the graphic tee is Celebrate Freedom. We launched it on the year anniversary of our organization, the coming together of these organizations, BPC, BWPC, USL, BPA, ISC, and every single supporters group who was involved in the project and participated and amplified in any way is represented on the back of the tee. All the proceeds from the campaign that you guys bringing up on the screen right now will go will go towards the organizations in a future day of service. And this is just the first of hopefully a long-term, I won't even say hopefully, based on the collaboration and the transparent nature that everybody participated on this, I see this as a very long-term project and initiative. But this is the first time in history that we're bringing it together. We're talking about it, and we have something that represents the efforts of everybody that have been contributing to this, both on and off the field, for a long time now. So if anyone is interested or wanting to support, starting with this t-shirt is one way to do so. We have future opportunities for some clubhouses. We're also thinking of ways to be engaging with the community, giveaways, raffles, stuff similar to like the Blackout collection we did earlier that I think some fans are starting to receive as well too. So I think our organizations have been doing a lot of work and have been running 1,000 miles ahead, and we're excited to really highlight the fruits of some of the labor that's been happening behind the scenes, like Justin had mentioned, over time. So, yeah, hopefully that gives kind of a summary of what it is and what it represents and why we're doing pre-sales, and we'll continue that here moving forward.
Right. Yeah. And to go back to the designer, we wanted a Black supporter to be involved with the design, and we all know how awesome of work that's being done in Madison, right? So we reached out to our friend Chris Fox, who's co-founder of Featherstone Flamingos, which is a Black culture supporters group out there, and he's part of the Flock. And so he came up with this idea to throw back to the Cross Colors, which is designer Carl Jones, and their motto, or his motto, was like clothing without prejudice. So those who were like around in the 90s and are familiar, yeah, that was his influence for the design.
Definitely not Christian and I. We're both 22 years old.
same.
Keep that in mind, Hollywood. It is. It's a really dope design, and it's for a good cause. So why not do it? The chat has been slammed with that link. So click on that link. And right now it's pre-sale, and it becomes available on the 19th, correct?
Well, I think we're going to be doing pre-sales for the next couple of weeks as we're getting orders in from everybody. And then from that, we'll be able to do the mass print run of that and get them sent out to everybody. So because we're doing everything, because we've been developing all of these new systems and processes and experiences for the first time, we've been doing so in a way that we can make sure everyone's participating and involved, and then be as efficient with our resources as possible, because we're waiting on that money to come. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these, right. I saw MLB just drop that $150 million. I'm saying, hey, what's up, Don? Where's that? You know,
it's a lot of work. I mean, we've made like a 2 or 3 shirts, and even getting like 60 shirts to people is a nightmare.
So
it's
stressful.
But we absolutely applaud the work that you guys are doing. I know, you know, the soccer community has not only inspired, but it's changed my perspective on how to contribute and how to help and how to give back, because the soccer communities are already like just so involved with things in their local communities that it's such an easy outlet and an easy place to go to get informed and to just be around with, you know, like-minded people that also want to help out. So
and give yourselves credit. You've made it easy for people to find out how to help, which I think for a lot of folks is a hurdle they wouldn't have taken prior. And you guys have really everyone, Black Players Collective, the Black Women's Players Coalition, and ISC, of course, and all the great work they do, and a lot of the supporters that are doing it independently. You've made it easy. You've given people like, look, here's a link. You want help? We made it easy for you. You don't got to Google anything. Click on this link and give us all your money. Buy a lot of shirts. Hand them out. I'm going to put them on the chairs on Thanksgiving because no one's going to be there. So I'm going to put them on all the empty chairs.
How come nobody's sitting in all the rainbow seats, you know?
Yeah.
So look, you guys are the absolute best. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor. We're lucky to know you, call you friends, and keep doing amazing work. And hopefully we'll see you guys at a game soon.
Absolutely. Put some claps in the chat.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you very much. How wonderful is that?
How awesome was that? Thank you, Quincy Marakawa, Justin Morrow, and Nicole Hack. Make sure you go let me make sure I get the browser working.
Hey, thanks for the cheer, whoever gave us that cheer. Run amok 923. Thank you so much.
Go to blackplayersforchange.org/Juneteenth.
You see the link in the chat? Just click on that.
Click on the link. Go check it out. Go support. I'm so happy they got to come on and chat with us, man. It's you know, we've been
More important than everything we talked about is just the fact that we've got such cool friends that do such incredible things. I think that's the most important thing, right?
Jean Leduc said, "Better see y'all in my shirt when it hits." LOL. I'm assuming that is Chris, who is the designer of the shirt.
I mean, either that or this guy's really pushing his merch.
The number one hype man for the Juneteenth shirt, Jean Leduc. Thank you so much.
He's like, "It's actually just a teddy bear with a huge dick. I drew it myself." We're like, "No, we're not wearing that."
No, I don't care what cause it supports. We're not going.
Oh, he said indeed. All right, indeed. Well, Jean Leduc, good work, baby.
Shouts to you.
I wish I was old enough to understand the cross colors reference, but again, I'm a young, young go getter out here. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm out here. I'm just on TikTok. That's all I know.
Cross colors, is that a song from Lil Xan?
Oh man. So again, shout to Quincy, Justin, and Nicole for joining us. Absolutely honored. So cool to have them on the show. Look, this is like we said at the top, two idiots that have computers.
Which I guess it could have ended up worse.
It could have, but it is a cool thing that we're able to do something like that and have a platform for people that, you know, to be able to help and support and cause a little bit of change in the world. So shouts to them. So okay. Obviously a lot of other things to go over today.
Let's talk about what's in the title. Okay, Messi the GOAT.
I didn't even see the title. What's the title?
I just said it. Messi the GOAT, mark. There's some people who've said Messi always been the GOAT, blah, blah, blah. I think this is important to talk about because the conversation has to die now, right? Like, once you win a major title where they said you couldn't, I feel like you're good now, right?
I would say so. I mean, what's the bar? What else do you need from this man?
I guess that's a good way to put it. Because what else do you want to see? That is a good idea. What else do you want to see?
It feels a little bit like, nothing will ever be enough. I had the privilege of being on DC radio with Reese Waters. I did the Reese Waters show the other day. Mm-hmm. He was Reese Waters, hilarious comedian.
Great comic.
Great comic who is now a, he was working in, he did a morning show in DC for.
Worked for ESPN.
Worked for ESPN. He's covered footy to some degree. He did a great, remote where he went to Leicester City, I think right before they won the title, and kind of how incredible it was that they ended up winning. So and I was talking to him because he kind of asking the same questions, right? I think Messi losing for so many years and not winning a title just inflamed the debate of who is the best in the world.
It wasn't really a debate. It was only a debate because he lost at an international level.
Well, we know. Look, we've worked in this business and this industry for long enough where we're starting to see a couple patterns, right? Uh-huh. People are looking for clicks. People are looking for eyeballs. They're looking for attention. And what gets more attention? What gets the Ronaldo heads and the Messi clan? I'm calling them that now.
the Wu Messi clan. I do want to read what Run Amok just wrote. He put his order of greats. I just want to hear your reaction to this. Henri, second, Messi, third, Marouane Chamakh. Number four, Cristiano Ronaldo.
That just says Ronaldo.
It could be R9. I'm assuming he means.
I'm assuming, yeah. It's
Let's go with R9. Less rape charges. So we'll go on Henri Messi.
Yeah, significantly less. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Soccer Sarah 24, for hitting that follow button. And also, shouts to everyone who followed during that interview. We couldn't call you all out. Thank you so much. Marouane Chamakh. Do you remember him?
I remember him from, like, FIFA 12.
Do you remember? Just pull up. Go to the browser and pull him up, because I just want you to remember what his hairline looked like.
Okay. Marouane Chamakh. Okay, cool.
Because he, and there's a segue here, he definitely had a barber gate issue. Look at my man's hair, dog.
But what happened here, bro? At West Brom?
Oh, he lost it. He went from looking. This is what's gonna happen to you, not the hair. This is what's gonna happen to you. He went from looking 16 to looking 48 in like a drop of over a summer. It was crazy. What's gonna happen to you? He's you're like a Disney movie. You look like a child, and then one day you're gonna be like viejito.
Handsome dude, but a lot of I gotta say, a lot of product here. It's doing a lot of work. The product.
Yeah, he was big on product. Even when he was losing the hair, he was like still. Yeah.
He was like, no.
My budget stays the same for hair.
We're gonna hold on for as long as possible. Okay. How is this a serious and genuine suggestion in that list of best players?
Of course not. He was horrific. Okay. That's like saying Nicholas Bettner. By the way, I'm hearing that your audio is still a little low. Someone just text me.
Okay, I can raise it a little bit.
There we go. You are very loud in my ear, though, just so you know.
That should be. All right, I'll raise myself on the stream. And
Stream Nilo said, at some point, you got to give up and clipper that shit off. I agree.
I love that. That's such a great saying, clipper that shit off, you know?
What was that movie where she, was it Demi Moore, buzzed her hair? She shaved it for real.
Oh, G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane. You got to do that. You got to have G.I. Shama.
It's crazy that I know that, given that I'm 22 years old.
Well, you love classic cinema. And that's why you know
I'm very fascinated by everybody that Ashton Kutcher dated.
I also am into classic cinema, which is why I knew that was a scene in a movie, you know?
Classic cinema, like Toy Story 2, the classic.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa talking about that one. Anyway, look at Stefan FCB said Damsgaard is 20, and his hairline kind of fucked too. So let's pull it up. Damsgaard, let's see what we got on here.
Come on, he was the hero of Denmark.
Well, that stress got to his hairline.
Mikael Damsgaard, what's his hairline? Oh, yeah, he got... My man's is receding hard. I mean, it's a shame.
It's not that bad.
I mean, you can see it there.
It's
a little bit
not
more.
That good. He zoomed in on the photo, folks.
I've changed my opinion.
He hit the NCIS enhance.
You feel bad because he's not going to have hair for very long.
I could say this because I've had this hairline since I was a child. I got a five head. My guy got a five and a half head, dude.
But regardless,
Stephen FCB said it looked worse live. Damn, yo, my man's like, I can't even watch this game.
It's distracting me. Okay, this is okay. This is
almost there. 819 said, "Damn's guard fell off the razor." Hey.
But you know, all that testosterone is what's going to make him a much stronger player.
Vinegar
in his
Stroke
career.
7 just said, "More like Mikel, damn my hairline."
Wow. This is what, you know, we started this a couple weeks ago because we asked the question, is Denmark roastable now? We understand it's a beautiful story and we're all happy. Everything turned out okay.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't last forever. Nah. You gotta, at some point, it's going to be like,
when your forward
is
Martin Brethright Strip, you've got you're roastable.
Yeah, exactly.
Run amok 923 said not everybody is Giroud, and that's true. Because if it is, we would just all have wet underpants if everybody was Giroud.
Alacron said hair transplant is a thing now. They still got a chance.
That's right. He could come back with a damn good hairline. You know what I mean?
It'd be weird if he fixes the hairline It feels weird to fix your hairline at 20 years old. You know what I mean?
Nah,
it feels
like Rooney did it.
Not at 20.
He did it at like 24.
Was he that young?
Yeah.
Damn.
You know what he said? He goes, there's a cure for baldness now, so why wouldn't I do it? Is it a cure? I don't think you're allowed to use the word cure there.
It's more, it's less a cure and more a spotlight on the baldness you currently have. You know what I mean? It is really attracting all the eyeballs right to the top of your head. Okay.
Also, so, he's losing the plugs now. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, there was a
or it might be the hair around the plugs. They're all leaving. So it's just, yeah, it's looking like a no.
Yeah, there was a photo going around of him. Look, I don't know. I mean, people age. Some people age a little faster than others. That's all.
By the way, I want to read what's happening in the chat here. Sinkara said, did you know Braithwaite is a billionaire? Brandon Zeno said, chill. Martin Braithwaite is the modern day R9. We got some hyperbole going on in the chat. Ward Martin said, second richest player in Barca behind Messi. Stefan FCB said, respect Goatwaith. And then almost there, 89819 said, so you're saying Braithwaite got that hairline with all that cheddar? And Bay Area Guna said, how dare y'all roast Lord Bentner's land? So he's 20 minutes behind.
There's a lot going on. We were here to talk about if Messi's the best, but clearly he's not. I don't even think he belongs in the top 10 when Braithwaite's on there.
So I heard someone say this when we were doing the stream for the final. RNA Deck said, well, you know, Europe is just a much better quality of football than Copa America. The Euros are better than Copa America. And I was like, all right, everybody slow down. You guys, every country in the Euros would jump over any hurdle to get a Neymar in their squad, to get a Messi in their squad, to get possibly even a Luis Suarez, even though he's a little bit older. Thank you, Pope Fracas, for subscribing once again. Whatchamacallit? Stream Nilo said Messi has too good of a hair not to be considered the GOAT. We're off the hair now. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do think that Messi winning this has started the conversation as, is it more important, is it a bigger accomplishment to win the Euros versus winning Copa America? And I think it's a bigger accomplishment winning Copa America.
So given that the Copa America, there's only 10 countries, it is, I would say, within those 10 countries, there is more talent. Well, I would say at least in the Euros, there's so many countries that are trying to qualify. I would say that it's a little bit more diluted, the talent. There is more talent in those 10 countries than there are in the, you know, whatever, 60 countries of UEFA.
Right. I think it's harder to make a selección. It's harder to make a national team in those countries. Especially if you're Brazil. Yeah. It's just a massive country.
Yeah, there's. I mean, look, I know there's Bolivia, maybe Venezuela, are like the two.
There's that some you places like, that will skew the average.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, but there's a lot of bad teams in Europe. There's a lot of bad countries.
Yeah.
When it comes to a footballing perspective, they're not very good. So I think it's a fair debate of like what's the tougher competition. Somebody, I like the comment someone just made here. Who was it about it being a Sinkara?
Sinkara to 211 said Brazil versus Argentina final was not a football match. It was a war.
And that's the best way to describe it. It was absolutely intense. I mean, you feel the emotion of Messi. Look, and you know, a little peek behind the curtain. We were just at NYCFC's training ground. Stay tuned. There's going to be a video of us, you know, just doing
a couple of videos, maybe.
Couple videos of us showing off some of our moves.
Just showing the boys, you know, how to maybe pick it up, get it to the next level. You know what I mean?
You know, they said boost morale and then also boost the footballing ability here as well. Okay.
So that's why they brought in the crew. We've been taking notes, right? Y'all been out here training. We've been watching. And here's what we think.
And we were talking to some of the Argentinian players. And
Luke Sergio said, please tell me Christian gets nutmeg. I almost did. I thought about it. I was like, I don't want to derail this video.
But we were talking to the Argentinian players, and they were really talking about that Messi winning Copa America almost meant more to them than Argentina winning Copa America. You know what I mean?
Like, and there's also that, like, everybody wanted Messi. There's only one person who didn't want Messi to win, and his name is Cristiano Ronaldo. Everyone else kind of was pulling. It's time. First of all, there's no cockiness about this guy. There's nothing about him that makes you want to hate him. He seems like a sweet guy. Yeah, I mean, you want him to win. He's at the end of his career. This probably was his last Copa America. And if he didn't win this one, they would have put another one in 2 years. They would have just made another one because, one, they want the money from him being a part of it. And two, they want him to win. This is a win for all of football, for all of soccer. This is a big moment.
Yeah. Colubanca just said, crazy that Pelé and Maradona won World Cup, but never a Copa America. All right.
Couldn't be my GOAT.
How great are they really when you think about it? They don't have that trophy. I mean,
also, can we talk about Pelé? Dog, everything I've seen is in black and white, my guy. I mean, he couldn't win in a color screen.
Unbelievable. Okay.
I mean, he didn't try hard enough.
If he really wanted to be the best ever, he would have done it in 4K. That's right? All I'm saying.
You gotta do at least Technicolor. You know what I mean?
Okay. Cross colors even. So I think it is a fair a debate. But then when it comes to the point I was making before about is that there is a whole economy around Messi and Ronaldo. There's a whole business, there's a whole industry of like who is better, and people and having that debate. Sin Cara 2011 or 2011. Thank you so much for the follow.
Hit the follow button.
Sin Cara without a face. Okay. So the fact that that Messi finally won, I think it hurts that economy of. Because go to any ESPN FC tweet. Doesn't matter what the tweet is about. Doesn't matter if it's about a different sport. Why is there always... There's something going on Twitter, especially, and Instagram, where as soon as anything comes up soccer-related, why do you see something about... It couldn't be Pinaldo or Pessy or it's. Oh, I don't understand what this
Pessy.
Joke.
Pessy. That's not real, is it?
This is 100% real. Please, everyone in the chat, please confirm it. This is every every under in the comment section. It is always about. Board Martin just said it's 10-year-olds. Maybe it just seems absurd that this is.
He says it's real, Alexis. Yeah, it's all the bots and 13-year-olds around the world. Pessy and Pinaldo. What's
and ratioed. Brandon Zinho just said that it's like if you say something negative about Messi, ratio incoming. Or you say something negative about Ronaldo, same exact thing. It is a joke. It's just so comical. It has removed any real discourse about these guys.
Run Amok just said Shamak better than Pele. Dude, is this Marouane Shamak? It might be the only way. We're talking about his hairline.
And it says Brendan, and they always have a pro. Brendan Zinho said, and they always have a profile pic of a footballer. Yeah, it is.
I got me and Matt Doyle got yelled at by one of these who has Carlos Vela as his profile photo. They were saying, we don't know anything about pizza. And I just retweeted it and put, who wants to tell them? Colo Blanco said, Shamak is better than Pele. Hairline for sure. This chat has gone off the rails. I do agree with you. And I didn't realize that this was all a Pessy just makes no sense to me. I mean, you can't. Pinaldo Messi, you can't really add it to any of his names. Yeah, I guess you're stuck there. But I still think Pulisic being named called Magadana is the best shitty nickname ever.
Can we? You know what? Let's do this. Maybe we can be, because we've seen these. NRAMR is a good one. Another one.
Palexis.
Palexis, yes. I mean, Polanco is already there, yeah. I think.
Penalco.
Penalco. Yeah. But can we come up with other, maybe let's do this for American players. Can we come up with like a Pinaldo and Pessi?
Second Amendment Hazard. Insurrection Senior.
These are all great. We could go over these all over again. They're awesome. Like Penisic. Which sounds like medicine.
Alexis Guaranco. Luke Sturgio definitely has his own drinking game associated with this show.
Brandizinho, thank you for the follow. Much
thank you, Brandizinho. Shouts to the 300 people watching right now. Hit that follow button if you haven't already.
Follow button. We're having a great time.
Come on, buddy. We're trying to make partner up in this joint, and they do not want us.
Nah. We're trying to make partner. Okay, it's a little different. We're trying to make
penartner.
Port Martin said Cristiano Penalco. All right,
there you go.
Okay, we're trying. It is.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
How did we get here?
The discourse about, you know, if it feels like the, you know, when we were kids and like, is Michael Jordan the best, or is it Larry Bird or Magic Johnson? Like it was.
When were you a child?
You weren't a kid. This is when
Larry
Jordan was big.
Bird?
When we were kids.
Larry Bird retired when Pele started playing soccer.
Wait, but Larry Bird retired in the 90s, in the early 90s. Anyway, but at least these debates felt a little bit more reasonable and genuine. There doesn't seem to be any like of why you favor one player or the other. It doesn't really feel authentic anymore. It's just like it's all the trolls and bots or whatever. I think it's just because of that dumb kind of economy of like the fact that we can
it die. And by the way, Chewy Sauce said, damn, Christian, hella old. Yo. Christian's first game was to watch Pistol Pete.
Okay. I remember when they drew the NBA logo. It was pretty cool.
They used to have Christian as a child in the background, and they had to take him out.
oh man. My goodness.
Christian watched Pele in a black and white TV in the back, TV back in kindergarten. Brandozinho said, you're older than Buffon. Talk about Larry Bird, bro.
Brandon Buck, I like this one. He said, can we talk about Pelisic's hairline? Pelisic. I like that one.
There we go. His hairline's fine, I think.
His hairline seems fine to me.
Remember when I streamed on my own for the first time, I had Christian Pulisic's GQ shoot as the background, mm-hmm. as someone came in and said, hairline bussin', and then bounced out. So, like this hairline, and then say goodbye.
Sports Card Direct, thank you for the sub. So much, very
four
much
months, currently on a 4-month streak. Thank you so much, Sports Card Direct. Don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free. So hit that subscribe button. If not, just hit the follow button. That's also free, my guy. And that's regardless of whether you got Amazon Prime or not. That's if you got an Alexa, a Siri, a Google Home, whatever. If you're afraid of those things, it don't matter. Hit that follow button. And only we get to follow you around the house. You know what I mean? Run them up, subscribe with Prime. Hey, thank you for listening.
Sports Card Direct, the Kelly Francis thing?
That's Sports Card Investor, who just hit 100,000 YouTube subscribers.
Right. That's a different one. Okay, cool. So apologies for just, you know, I thought it was the same one. Okay.
Di Maria showed up in that final. What a player. By the way, RNA Deck tried to say that wasn't that hard, that good of a goal, that the ball had already bounced, so it's easy to hit a dink, if you will, like a little lob over the keeper. It's like, fuck. It's a final.
Should we go into any detail about the Euros and about the game itself? Is there anything you want to weigh in on?
A million times. Everybody's got it. Yeah.
I mean, look,
I will say is that I was called an idiot for many years. Now I've been called an idiot for months.
You weren't called an idiot on this stream.
I called myself an idiot. I was called an idiot for weeks because I kept saying Southgate is he's overcoaching. It's too pragmatic. It's there's your way. You're defending too much, going to five at the back. And I think in the end, it got him to the final. So there's I can't sit here and tell you this is no longer the right way to do it or this is the wrong way to do it. He's going to do whatever he wants, and he's kind of earned the right to do that. But I still, my flag is in the ground. I'm digging my trench. I'm saying thank you so much, Jamila, for gifting a sub to Sin Cara. I'm still saying this isn't, you have too much offensive talent to essentially put out a 7-2-1 formation, which is what he did. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You have way too much talent at your disposal to walk into the World Cup thinking this is the smart way to go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Running Muck, for the cheer. You guys are the best.
Yeah, look, it is, you know, we talked a little bit about just like those late substitutions. And look, I think this was what Southgate thought would not lose the game, you know, as opposed to,
I think he overcomplicated it with this. And also, I don't know if you saw this. I watched a great TIFO football video where they explain Southgate's tactics. And I watched this because I'm like, I want to learn more about what he's trying to do. And what they surmise is his tactics are we lock them down in the first 15 minutes of each half and we heavy press and we get them out of there. Whatever they came in to do, we get them out of that game. And then we start to pull back and play our game. Listening to that, don't you think that's kind of overcomplicating it? Shouts to Freddie for gifting two subs.
Thank you. Oh!
There was a question. I said,
yes, the overcomplicated.
It's just two of us here.
I wouldn't even use the word overcomplicate. I think he was just cautious. I think his mentality was.
Fine. Don't you think it was too cautious?
Yeah, 100%. And I like somebody just mentioned South. What was the. Southgate parking the bus during the second half was predictable and frustrating. Could have slammed the door with 2-0, but played for 1-0. I think the early goal, I think, really messed England up. You saw the level of possession that they had, especially in the second half. They barely had the ball. They played to not lose. And you just can't hold on for that long. Italy is too good. You're going to make somebody's going to switch off. Somebody's going to make a mistake. And that was the real issue. It was great that Luke Shaw scored, but man, as soon as it happened, I had that feeling of like, man.
Oh, that they scored too early thing?
Too early. Yeah. Really? I just felt like. I felt because
I think that's so dumb. There's not that many, not you specifically, but involve you as well.
If they would have scored,
many goals scored, so who cares when you score?
But if there was a goals or early goal scored, and they would have had a lineup with let's say that was just, if Sancho was already in the game, or if Grealish had already started the game, and they score that goal, I think they win that game because I think
100%. What everyone is saying is they should have shifted to a more offensive or a more attack minded formation or squad when they had the chance, and they waited too long to do that. Grealish should have been in way earlier.
Bay Ariguna just said, give Italy credit. They came back tough. They did.
Yeah, but what else Italy, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, Italy, they had to send more people forward. They had to take more risks. And they still
scored on a squibby ball. You know what I mean? They still had a ball ping ponging around.
Yeah, and yes, Italy did. They scored the equalizer. They had more possession, but they were allowed to have more possession to some degree. Like Southgate kind of wanted that intentionally, which I think was the wrong move.
Right.
Just at some point, especially
by the way,
there's
breaking news. Popeyes is gonna add chicken nuggets to their menu. I don't know if anyone saw this. Go ahead. You were saying. This is wildly important. Popeyes Madison, is getting chicken nuggets.
Madison, 23-24. Thank you for the
thank
follow.
You, El Cinco.
Okay. El Five. Anyway,
by the way, the quote is Popeye's promises chicken nuggets, quote, unlike anything you may have experienced before. We're putting acid in the chicken nuggets, folks.
Okay, you're going to get nuggets with mistolin, all right?
Enjoy. Yeah. Let's just say that our chicken nuggets are fabuloso.
Nobody saw it coming, okay?
You guys are going to be huffing dollar store cleaning products. Crimson what? Pizza Foot sounds the chicken klaxon.
Why we got to get rid of all the COVID patients at the ICU because people are eating Popeye's nuggets, all right?
It's got the vaccine in it, folks. We tricked you.
Oh, my goodness. Who was Shelly Ray said, who was the player grabbing at Saka's jersey? That was Chiellini. Chiellini.
Yeah.
Horse-collared Saka. Look.
No one can tell me that wasn't a red card. Also, who was the player that essentially...
I can tell you it wasn't a red card, Alexis.
It
wasn't an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. It was a terrible foul. Away Days 84. Thank you so much for the sub.
Away Days.
Shelly Ray said that was a red. I don't agree. I don't think that was a red card.
I think Shelly Ray is correct. Shelly Ray.
Board Martin said professional foul. Lackron said not a red.
Bay Area Gunna said an Alexis meal, 36 pieces for yourself, to your soul separately. That's for Thanksgiving.
It was
Grealish
even close
who got stomped on. The guy looked like he was surfing.
Oh yeah, that one was rough, but I could see how that wouldn't be a red just because there definitely was not any intent at all. But you know, whatever. So
Peter Garcia just said, yo, what I miss. I mean, there's a lot. You're going to have to rewatch this one.
Yeah, I wish there was a rewind button on Twitch.
We solved hairlines. We roasted Denmark, which no one thought we would do. We found out that Braithwaite is a bazillionaire. Mm-hmm. Did you know that he owns like real estate firms?
I did know that. He owns like I think real estate in like Philadelphia or something like that. He's like building affordable housing and things like that.
He's building like half office, half affordable housing. Like
Board Martin said, did you see Chiellini shouting Kiricocho? Remember the Kiricocho?
Did he?
Yeah.
No,
somebody
wait, he
had mentioned
mentiroso.
Penalties. No, the penalties in against England. Yeah, he was yelling something, but we were talking about this a couple months ago. I forgot the context of who was the player, why we were talking about this, but what was the story again? The Kiricocho
is in like Colombia.
Okay.
Wasn't it the national teams? They said that the goalkeeper yelled Kiricocho.
Right, I forgot what it was like. There was a bad luck myth.
It's a kid. It's a kid that
Haaland. Haaland and the Sevilla goalkeeper. Right.
It's a child in Argentina who, like, I guess, came to every match, and the one match he missed, the players got injured and they lost. It was the only one. So they like. There's a whole myth, right? Isn't that it?
Yeah. Bilardo hired a kid to be bad luck to for the other team. That's what I remember. Okay.
Hell yeah, dude.
So there was we saw Chiellini with Jordi Alba and the gamesmanship and the hugging him and give him a knuckle sandwich, the whole thing. he was just being wildly obnoxious.
Now you're talking like... You knew, like you watched Larry Bird play basketball.
Alexis, they're jokes. That's how I pepper my language to make it a little bit more fun and entertaining.
Almost
okay?
There said, Giddy Coach sound like a fire anime show.
Oh, okay. What level of Super Saiyan is that?
Damn. Right. You watch One Punch Man? Nah, I'm on that Giddy Coach. Damn, that's illegal in Japan.
Yo, they probably blurred out and everything, right? Okay. So
Lozader said Southgate was manager of Middlesbrough from June 2006 until October 2009. Got sacked. He also managed the England under 21 team from 2013 to 2016 before becoming the English national team manager in 2016 and needs to be sacked again. Let me say, if you say he was the manager of Middlesbrough, from 2006 to 2009, that's a pretty good run. He didn't really get sacked so much as they were like, all right, you're done with your 3 years here. We're going to move on to somebody else.
Okay.
Somebody said this. Somebody said that national team managers should only be in their position for 4 years max. What are your thoughts there?
He hasn't been there for 4 years yet, right?
I'm not asking that. I'm saying, what do you think of that idea?
I would say,
and yeah, I think he's been there for 4 years this year. It's 2021.
All evidence kind of suggests that that is probably the move, but there aren't really a wealth of managers to pick from that will be that will be an improvement or leveling up from what you just had.
Shelly Ray said, so who would you replace him with? Stream Nilo replied, Giddy Cocho.
Okay, baby. He is available. Okay, what was it? Somebody just asked something funny. Stefan FCB said this was England's best chance to win something. They won't get an easy run like this again, in my opinion.
I actually, first of all, they did have a pretty easy run and they were home, but I actually disagree. I do think that this will actually like mint the team. It'll form them to have like a harder outer shell. And I think it's actually going to get them prepared for the World Cup. I think them winning this makes them too cocky heading into the World Cup. I think we're going to see them have a really strong run. Do I think they win the World Cup? Anything could happen. They have the talent for it, but nah, I don't think this is going to harm them as much as you think. I think this is going to make them stronger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, look, with all the messages I've seen from Bukayo Saka, from Rashford, from Sancho.
I love Bukayo Saka so much.
England, even like just all the Premier League clubs and just kind of, this feels like the first time, and it took, an unbelievable amount of negativity and racism from England fans to kind of maybe get them together. Maybe they have this common enemy that they can finally unite and feel like they have a common purpose, that maybe this will heal the nation. Maybe the team doing better will heal the nation to some degree. You remember Didier Drogba, where the story is that he ended a civil war. Making it to the World Cup, right?
No, by saying they wouldn't play. The national team said they wouldn't play when they had a really good opportunity.
Right. They were going to like go on strike, and so it's like it is a possibility. Like football means so much, and is very much a fabric of countries, and maybe this is the thing England needed, because maybe the ironic singing of "It's Coming Home" and the self-deprecation and sarcasm, it's ran its course.
They think it's sarcastic. No one thinks it's sarcastic.
I know the people, meaning non-English people
are. Yeah. This is fuel for other teams. The fact that the Italy team were singing "It's Coming Rome." And the fact that Kasper Schmeichel said it's never been home. You don't understand. Like, you think it's all a bit, but people are using it to inspire them to play better against you.
Yeah.
Stop singing the song.
I like this from Sincara. Says, Saka is only 2 months older than me and taking pens in Euro finals. I still get nervous for class presentations.
Damn.
I'm sweating at my PowerPoint presentation.
I don't know if my diorama is good enough, Meanwhile, Saka's like, it's all good, babe.
it would be bad if you did a class presentation and then you get to your phone and it's like all these racist abuse. And like, well, yo, what did I do? Yeah. I'm just trying to get an A.
First of all, I know who you are. You're in my class. You're the only ones who saw this. Shelly Ray said the song came about by England losing so much. We know the backstory, but no one is. It's becoming bulletin board material. Right, it's being used against you. You guys got to stop. Skeeter Yeet said, I took a BuzzFeed How Big Is Your IQ quiz. And there was a question, what's always coming but never arrives? The correct answer was tomorrow, but I answered football. I don't know how this is the wrong answer, man. Tell me how I got it wrong. Skeeter Yeet, You got scammed.
Damn you, BuzzFeed. Okay. So that's all right. That's over. You want Euros? I want
to
go.
Hell of a segue. Okay. That one's over.
Copa America. Obviously, I just want to talk a little bit about the 1-0 victory of Argentina. The only thing I want to kind of mention, obviously, some people were, you know, maybe dismissing or downplaying Angel Di Maria's importance to the team or whatever. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about how bad of a, I think Messi had probably the worst game of the tournament, in my opinion.
I want to say it was bad, but don't forget, like, this is what's his name? Lionel Scaloni has like a different, they almost kind of not avoid Messi, but they're good around Messi, like that's kind of their goal. But this was a tough match to compare anybody to. This was boxing gloves were the only thing missing from this match.
Scaloni, Boardman just says Scaloni said he was injured for two games. Remember in the prior game against Colombia, he got the studs to the ankle, and he had the bloody Kurt Schilling sock,
and his sock bled again, right?
Somebody else's sock bled. There was
a lot of bleeding socks.
A lot of bleeding socks, and when it comes to South America, Mosquito Yeet says Messi carried his weight every other game, other than the final, best player in the Copa, nonetheless. Sure,
I think
there was I'm glad. Look, the pressure didn't get to him completely, but he had that 1v1 against Ederson, and a lot of time. And really bottled it. I mean, I was a little bit nervous that missed opportunity was going to come back to bite him in the ass if Brazil would have ended up tying the game. Those last few minutes, everybody felt that the pressure. I was watching the game. I went to Smithfield Hall. Grant Wall. I was hanging out with Grant Wall and Grant. I knew Grant Wall like loved Argentina. That was like his kind of second home. He had spent a lot of time there, but I'm like, yo, Grant, why are you celebrating more than the Argentinians at the table next to us? Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, he's on the table with like a piece of skirt steak and a mate, and he's like, you hear me, you pieces of shit, we won.
My people, it was cool. It was great to see him. He was very, very happy. But the Argentinians there, those last 5 minutes, extra time or stoppage time was. It almost felt like I think the ref blew the whistle like 2 minutes early.
They were just like, call it quick.
They were like, look, the guy, he's gonna get the trophy. Let's just end this story right now because we don't want Brazil to ruin it.
And I do want to read Colo Blanco, who is Colombiano, said, my dad has a conspiracy theory. He thinks Messi used red dye on his sock to get a Colombian sent off. I let him believe it. One way to think about it, I guess, all in good fun. Not necessarily all in good fun.
Yeah.
WWE? He's like spraying red dye?
Let's talk a little bit about the game against Colombia, especially the penalties, right? Because I think this happened after we taped Prem Show.
Yeah, let's talk about something that happened 3 weeks ago. Go ahead.
Not 3 weeks ago. It was last week. But the Emi Martinez humping the hump.
Yeah, people were saying that would have been a red card if it was in the Premier League for taunting.
Yeah, they very much allowed it. But then also, Emi did the hump, the air hump. And then Borja from Colombia, after he scored, he did like some... like
finger
like
guns,
MC Hammer sidestepping finger guns thing
in front of Emi Martinez. But I like what Stefan FCB said. Bailar ahora. If you don't know, there's every South American match, there's four or five cameras on Messi at all times, just watching him. So during him on the sideline, probably the most emoting I'd ever seen of Messi.
Mm-hmm.
When he held up the jersey. That was more of like a statement. This is the most like I've ever seen him like passionately, you know, express his feelings. He was yelling, dance now to Colombia.
Yeah.
When Yeri Mina missed the penalty, which if you didn't hear, Emmy Martinez, as he's walking past Yerimina, he's saying, "Don't, I'm gonna eat this up. Don't do it." He goes, "Te conozco," which is like, it's hard to explain exactly what that means, but like, it's almost saying like, "I know you. I know everything about you. Like, I know what you're gonna do. I recognize."
I mean, it's not hard to explain because that's literally what it means. But okay.
Yeah, but it's like I think there's like a deeper meaning. Te conozco means like, it's like I'm in your brain, basically. Like, like, trust me, I already know what you're gonna do. He got in my head watching that tape. I'd be like, but damn,
there are specific rules to, you know, you definitely can't air hump, right? We know that.
Stupid rule.
But you're also not allowed to talk to the penalty taker. I mean, I don't know how much it's really enforced, but you're not supposed to.
Also, a dumb rule for one reason: all the pressure's on the goalkeeper.
Okay, why would you say, don't say that? That's not true. Not all.
Not all, bro. But the majority of the pressure, it's the goalkeeper's opportunity. Like, the goalkeeper's the one who can save it. The striker either misses the frame or it's the goalkeeper saved it. Those are the two ways that they miss it. It's the odds are stacked against the goalkeeper on a penalty. There's a higher percentage of penalties that are made than are missed.
Yeah. Well, we've had this conversation, but the fact that you,
Chuisa says you reach in, Alexis. I don't think I am. You should be allowed to. You should be allowed to say whatever you want, as long as it's not racist. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, I think there's a look. I would probably say if we were writing down the rules, I would probably say you shouldn't say anything.
Why? I'm interested in why that is.
From entertainment perspective, I think it's
Forget the entertainment. You don't think these players like, yo, I was with your girl last night. You don't think they do all those things to get in their heads?
But penalties, really, this is how the game is being decided. It's like you also can't, like during free throws in the NBA, you can't like yell when a player's taking a free throw. You can't try to distract them.
But you can talk trash before he goes up.
But there's no fans in the stadium. Everything is mic'd up. Everybody's hearing it very, very clearly.
That's like saying that the Suns couldn't chant, you know, 10, 5, 2, 3, 4 at Giannis. It doesn't matter.
They were just counting? Why were they counting?
Because he takes so long to take a free throw.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is so dumb. I also sportsmanship.
Right there, Fan XY, just sportsmanship.
Bay Area Aguna said, all your mama jokes illegal. I like Bay Area Aguna a lot.
Okay, it gotta be clever.
Crimson Pizza said, I propose you can only communicate in limericks. Well, here's Emmy Martinez doing a river dance.
From an entertainment perspective, I think it's great, but from a sportsmanship and sporting thing, it can go too far. What Emmy Martinez did went too far. That's it. Like, I'm not mad at the guy.
Explain to me what went too far.
The constant talking up until the penalty is being taken.
I really don't see any way that's bad. The kicker can also talk back.
Right, and they do sometimes, but it is.
Run Amok said, "Who are you, my dad?" I just don't see. I think are you talking about Polanco or me? Who's being Polo the funny daddy?
Christian is on the Parcero side. Yeah, as a routine, as a Colombian during international tournaments,
as a recent lifelong Parcero.
Yes, it is. It is difficult, but you know, again, Emmy Martinez. Incredible at stopping penalty. I mean, I give him all the credit in the world.
Someone said it. I don't know who said it, but Emi Martinez might be top five goalkeeper in the world right now. And of course he is, because Arsenal sold him. good. Perfect time.
Finally, he got rid that burden was taken off of his back, and he was allowed to thrive and be one of the best keepers in the world.
Here's a reference you'll get. Almost There said Emi Martinez was being the Reggie Miller of soccer.
Okay, doing one of these.
Don't you think that's part of the game, though? Players talk to each other all the time. They like poke each other and pinch each other.
Right. And look, I'm
running amongst Emi Martinez better than Shamak. This guy, he's taking over with Shaumai.
Well, first, we were talking about what players say to each other, and Alexis is like, a little poke, a little pinch, not gonna hurt nobody.
Right? It's just a little nibble on the shoulder if you're a Suarez.
I think it was too much. I mean, look, I'm not saying, you know, we need to get it out of the game or blah, 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 but it can go too far. That's all.
Almost there, said Shamak was such a great keeper, though. God damn it. My role in Shamak's ears are ringing today, boy. Let us know what you think. If you're listening to this, shoot us a DM or a tweet at us. What do you think? I can't imagine. Maybe we could put a poll up, Coro Blanco, if you don't mind doing that. Should the keeper not be able to speak? I think it's so dumb. Say whatever you want. As long as it doesn't cross the line of things that should be said. I mean, look what happened. The one player said to Zinedine Zidane, right? Like, he said something about his daughter, his sister, called his sister a prostitute or something like that. And that caused Zinedine Zidane to headbutt him, and he got a red card and he's out of the game, and then boom, they lose.
So who is to blame there? You mad? More mad as Zidane for responding the way he did.
Losing is cool. Yeah, it's a game. It's a game. But I've already proven that I'm different than everybody else, right? If someone says something bad about me or a family member, I don't go, "You can't say that." I think, what's something worse I could say about a family member of theirs? My brain works is like I boomerang it. You know what I mean?
Right. And in almost any other scenario, you don't have to focus on taking a penalty that will win your country a particular game. I'm just saying, in penalties,
you got to use every opportunity to win. Also, they're South America. They like the dark arts. You know what I mean?
I understand. It just feels like in penalties is not the place to use these dark arts.
This is the moment. The game's on the line. You go home if you lose.
There's already so much pressure.
If we were competing managers, I would destroy your team. Your team would be out. There'd be a bunch of red cards.
Bay Area Guna said, Alexis hits him with the old, "I'm rubber, you're glue."
That's right. I agree with Palexis, says Bourne Martin. Bruh, are you kidding me? I like when the team messes up the spot for the penalty kick. I like all these things. This is all a part of the game.
Okay.
Up in bubbles? We can't take a little bit of a, someone says something, "Oh, I know you're going to miss." I'd be like, "I know you. You suck." I'm not obviously going to use that, but I'm responding.
You take that. NFP, no fun, Polanco.
It again. He's becoming stepdad Polanco.
Okay, everybody, be nice to right? each other.
This is the suburbanification of Polanco.
So look, we disagree. It's all good. I mean, but
you've given no proof to me that it should have been a red card. But whatever, we shall move on.
What should be a red card?
You said it went too far.
No, yeah, but I didn't say it was a red card. That's not. I just said it went too far for the sake of the intensity and anxiety that you already have during penalty.
That's
you don't even have
point.
To say anything.
I get that.
And he did it, and he was successful. Good for him. I'm not saying anything. I just think the up on, like, literally, he's speaking up until the ball is about to leave Mina's foot. Yeah. Just seems like, well, you're also not allowed. It's already in the rules that you're not really allowed to do this, and it wasn't really being enforced. That's
what I'm
saying.
I think it's a stupid rule.
Okay, and that's fine.
And honestly,
I'm just saying,
I'm glad it's out of the rules, and I don't care if it is. I'm just glad we don't pay attention to it.
There were Colo Blanco mentioned earlier that there were Colombian fans that were saying that the game should be replayed or the penalty should be retaken because when he did the air hump, he should have been cautioned or something along those. It's just like that is. That's a whole other like conspiracy theory thing that happens all the time, but I think he went too far. But whatever, if it wins some game and he doesn't hurt his team, then you use whatever is available to you at whatever advantage available to you to win a game. So not deriding Emi Martinez.
I
want to
read almost there. Put Ardolis Chapman with the SOS Cuba on his hat at the All-Star game. Shout so much to Ardolis Chapman. And I also
I rolled this. Now, what did you say? Adore to this?
I said. What did I say?
You didn't say his name correctly.
Ardolis.
Ardolis. Yeah.
Thank you, Gua, Chapman, for always giving me the most screwy names.
He's Dominican. He's not Cuban, right?
No. Ardolis, isn't it Ardolis?
It's not Ardolis.
I'm pretty sure it's Ardolis.
I rolled this. It's Ardolis Chapman. Where's he from? He's not Cuban.
Cuban. Cuban.
He is. What's Wikipedia telling me?
He's Cuban.
He is Cuban. Why did I think he was Dominican?
Because that's what you guys do. You want to take everybody back to La Patria. That's our Patria y vida, coño.
You spelled it right.
By the way, I didn't say this in the beginning because we had the guest, but I forgot. I hope everyone in Cuba is okay, but also burn down all the government buildings. Burn them all down. Burn down everything that only Americans or tourists can go to. Burn down every store that doesn't say that
Alexis.
Doesn't no stop.
Alexis.
I don't care. Burn down every store that doesn't take the Cuban money, that only takes American money. Burn it to the ground.
Okay.
And you'll win. Burn it to the ground. Break every piece of glass you could find. And by the way, I'm not telling you what to do, but there's more of you than there are of those police officers.
Okay, well, look, I don't know if this breaks any Twitch standards and practices. That's my concern, but I understand, definitely we are supportive of the people. Allegedly do those things.
Hypothetically speaking.
And Brendan Zinho's hand and the U.S. embargo. Yeah,
please.
Look, obviously.
These people need medicine. By the way, a close friend of my family's blew both of his hands off in an electrical accident. And the only thing they have to give him is ibuprofen.
Mm.
The man has no hands. Ibuprofen? Yeah. Come on.
Look, definitely.
Piso, coño. Allegedly.
Are with everyone in Cuba. Yeah,
also in Haiti. Shouts to everyone in Haiti. Y'all are our brothers as well. Love you all. Fight for your freedom.
Absolutely.
And all you Miami Cubans, look in the mirror. You got a lot of questions you got to ask yourself. You got a self-discovery to do right now.
Yes. Our hearts, everybody in Cuba, in Haiti.
Run amok said Shamak is better than the Cuban government.
Bro,
I love Run Amok. That's my guy right now.
It's ridiculous everything going on. So we're definitely thinking about everything there. So
que malo el piso.
Okay, allegedly. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another Prem Show. This is thank you again to our guests, Quincy Amaraquois, Justin Morrow, and Nicole Hack. Make sure to go to blackplayersforchange.org/Juneteenth if you'd like to pick up the shirt and help support incredible organizations doing incredible work.
Absolutely incredible. What was the URL again? Give it out one more time.
blackplayersforchange.org/Juneteenth.
It's an absolute important thing that we support these groups that are out here doing these wonderful things. Before we go, I want to answer Sincara, because I've seen Sincara put this up a couple of times. Who will win Ballon d'Or? And I don't think we've talked about this because the last one was canceled it was Lewandowski's probably best chance to win. Do you have any... Alex is about to be banned in Hialeah. Near Nation put that. I'm not getting a good cafecito for a while. But what are your thoughts?
I still think it's Lewandowski. I think he should get it. Stefan FCB said Messi easy, especially after winning.
I gotta say, Messi gotta win.
I think he has a very strong case after winning Copa America.
Let me ask you this: Messi wins Copa America, Portugal wins Euros. Who do you think gets the Ballon d'Or?
We mean Portugal wins Euros.
If Portugal won the Euros, who do you think would win the
Ballon
d'Or?
Ronaldo had a terrible season at Juve.
All right.
It's not even a consideration.
It wasn't a terrible season. It wasn't a great season. But, you know, people are saying, Copa America doesn't mean anywhere near as much as the Euros.
The odds for Messi to win is 1 out of 2 right now. I don't know what that means. I guess is it 11? I think
50-50, I think is what he's trying to say.
I think, almost there said Lewandowski got screwed last year. He deserves it twice. I think honestly, it's going to be a makeup a little bit. But after breaking the record in Bundesliga, I think he deserves it.
Hey, Jay is crazy. Thank you so much for joining. You know what? I bet you if Messi doesn't win it, he won't care. He won. He won international.
Why would he?
He
has enough of them.
Neymar, because he scored in the UCL semis. I love this. I love this chat. You guys are the absolute best.
Thank you, everybody. Nicole Hack was also in the chat as well. Thank you again for joining us. This was super, super cool. I'm glad we this was the most amount of guests we brought, and to very, very few technical issues. We had one little hiccup.
It wasn't bad. We did our thing. And thank you to all of our guests. And, thank you for everyone who clicked on that link and is going to buy that shirt, because it goes to an absolute wonderful thing. Te amo, Cuba. Patria y vida. Everyone, please stay safe. If you have a family member, you have someone who's sharing information, please share for the world to see, because a lot of people don't know what's happening out there. And it's absolutely crazy. Te amo, Cuba, con todo mi corazón.
Okay, well put. All right, everybody. So thank you again for tuning in. Make sure we're back on Sunday on Fubo TV. We have a super exciting show.
It's going to be a big one.
We're going to be joined by Ted Lasso stars Cristo Fernandez, who plays Danny Rojas.
Football is life.
Football is life. He's going to be joining us. And Tohib Jima, who plays Sam Obisanya on Ted Lasso as well. So the premiere, the season 2 premiere of Ted Lasso is July 23rd, right? Friday?
Sure.
So... Yeah, July 23rd on Apple TV Plus. So go check that out. But watch them on our show. They were super, super cool, super nice, awesome people. And we got to talk about the upcoming season and how how their lives have kind of changed after being on Ted Lasso. So super, super cool. So that's going to be on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports Network. You can watch for free on FuboSportsNetwork.com, or if you have a Roku, Pluto TV, the channel Football Sports Network is there.
FootballSportsNetwork.com.
Yeah, and watch it. Watch it live. Live tweet it. Talk about it. Tell your friends. Almost there said hashtag Lasso out, which is hilarious.
You guys are the absolute best. Thank you for rocking with us for almost 2 hours. This is absolutely incredible.
Wow. Yeah. So thank you again for tuning in to another Prem show. With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cool Enough!